Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now on Masechet Chulin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Towards the bottom of the Amud, we have a very short podcast this time. We're going to look at the background of the story that's been invoked already several times, which is Behemtan Shel Tzadikim Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadan. My Behemtan Shel Tzadikim. What's that story? The Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Pinchas Ben Yair lived at the times of Shimon Bar Yochai. He was either his father-in-law or son-in-law. Not oft quoted in rabbinic literature, and nonetheless he is a character who is widely regarded as saintly and something of a miracle worker, as you will see. He's on his way to redeem captives, ostensibly from the Romans. Pagabe beginoi nahara. He encountered this river, the Ginoi. Amarle Ginoi chalokli memach mevorbach. Split your waters and let me cross through. Amarle, the river said back, you're doing your master's bidding, your creator's bidding, so am I. You may not succeed. I'm certainly going to succeed. Why should I bow to you? If you don't split for me, I'm going to decree that water will never come to you again. The river split. There was a fellow walking, evidently with him, who was carrying wheat for Pesach. Amar lechalokle nami lahai, the mitzvah asik. You better split for this one too. He's also involved in a mitzvah. Chalokle, the river split. He was afraid of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Haveyu tayad lava bahadayu. There was an Arab who was walking with him. Amar lechalokle nami lahai. It was split for him. Dolei makacho sim levnei levayaso. People shouldn't say, this is what you do with your company. You're walking and only two of you walk through and the third one you leave behind. Not nice. Chalokle, it's split for him. Rav Yosef, kamana fish gavra mimo shevashitin mivan. So Rav Yosef, the first way that he heard the story was that the water had split several times. He said, this fellow is greater than Moshe and all 600,000 Jews. Lohatam chad zimna, because there the water split once, v'achatat zimna, here three times. But dilma achanam echad zimna, perhaps here it was also only once, that all three of them passed through at once. So ela kimo shevashitin mivan. Okay, that's still not bad. He's as great as Moshe and the 600,000. Ikla lohu shpiza. Michal ben Yair came to a particular inn. Ramule sare lechamre loachal. They put down some barley for his donkey, and the donkey refused to eat the barley. Chavtinu loachal. So they beat the barley and ground it up, sifted it. He still wouldn't eat. Nakrinu loachal. They broke it up. He still wouldn't eat. Amarlohu dilma lo maasran. So Pinchas ben Yair turned to the hosts and says, that perhaps this barley has not yet been tithed properly. Asrinu ve'achal. And that's exactly what they did, and he ate. Amar, aniyazu olecha lasot ritzon konav, ve'atem machilim otat tevelim. My poor little donkey is going to do a mitzvah, to do Hashem's will, and you're feeding a tevel? So now our question is, umi mechaiva, since when are you obligated to separate masrot for your animal? But now we have a Mishnah in Tmai, lokeach lezer v'libehemah, v'kemach le'orot, v'shemen l'ner, v'shemen l'asuch bo takelim. If you buy seeds in order to feed your or you buy stuff for seed or to feed your animal, or you buy some flour in order to use it to tan hides, or you buy oil in order to burn it, or to rub it on clothes, then patur mi Tmai. You only chayav if it's going to be eaten by people. However, that only applies if you originally buy it for the animal. But if you first bought it to feed to a person and then you change your mind to feed it to an animal, then chayav laser, you do have to separate masrot. V'hatanya, we have the following braita. Halokeach perot min hashuk la'achilav n'achalein le'beimah, reza lo yitein lo lifnei v'emtov lo lifnei beimah chaviro. So this braita supports it. Ellen Kenny Sayer, if you bought fruit from the market in order to eat and then change your mind to feed it to an animal, you can't give it to an animal, your own or even in somebody else's, until you separate masrot. Oh, so that's the story of Pinchas Ben Yair. Back to the story itself. That's the background. Shama Rabbi Nafak Lape. Rabbi heard about this. He came out to greet him. Amar Li Ritzoncha, Tzaod Etzli, please come and eat at my house, Rabbi said. Amar Lohein, okay. Savu Parav Shel Rabbi. Rabbi got all excited. Amarlakum Dumeata Shemudar Nami Yisrael Ani. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair said, why are you so excited? You think I don't eat at Jews' homes? Yisrael Kadosh Yemen. Now, Am Yisrael are Kadosh. Of course I'll eat with them. And they said, Yesh rotzeh ve'ein lo. Some people want to invite me over, but they don't have what to feed me, so I don't want gog. I don't want to embarrass them. V'yesh yesh lo ve'ein rotzeh. There's some people who have and don't want to invite me over. Uchtiv, al tilcham et lechem ra ayin, v'al titav lemata motav, ki kemo shar benafsho, kein hu oseh, achol ushtey omar lach, v'libo bal nimach. Don't sit down to eat with somebody who is stingy, and don't want what he has to offer you, right? Because he's offering you stuff, but he's really, his heart isn't really in it. So in other words, I don't go and eat with somebody who really doesn't want to invite me. You're Rebbe. You want me to eat with you. You also have plenty. So I'll be happy to eat with you. I have no reason not to. But right now I have to refuse. I'm involved in a mitzvah. When I come back, I'll go to you and I'll eat with you. All right? He went, did the mitzvah, he came back. He came to Rebbe's house and went through the entrance of Rebbe's house where there were a bunch of these white donkeys, which are evidently white, kind of wild donkeys, and they were violent. He said, this fellow, this Rebbe, he has these white donkeys, these killers, and I'm going to eat there? Shama Rebbe Nefak Lape. Rebbe heard about this. He came out to greet him. Amarle, Mizavnina Lahu. I'll sell them. I want you to come. I'll sell them. Amarle, Lifnei Velo Titen Michshol. That's a stumbling block before ever buys them. Mifakarna Lahu. I'll be mafka them. I'll disown them. So mafshat has Ezeka. Then you're going to cause lots of damage. They'll be wandering around wild. Akarna Lahu. I will sterilize them so that they won't be so wild. Lower their aggression. So Ikasar Bali Chaim. That's painful to the animal. Katilnalu, I'll kill them. So Ikabal Tashchit, that's wanton destruction. Have kemavatish beituva. Rebbe kept pestering to come. Gava tura benayhu. It says if a mountain grew up between them, there was no way they could reconcile, and Pinchas ben Yair couldn't come. Bachar Rebbe v'yamar ma b'chayhen kach mitatan alchad kam v'chama. Think about this. Tzaddikim, even while they're alive, they're so powerful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to eat with me, so he directed him to come through that entrance, etc. How much more so when he's dead, he'll have that kind of power. What does that mean? Tzaddikim are more powerful than their death. Why? Shneemar, what's the proof text? Vayihem kovrim ish, v'nei ra'u et hagdud v'ashlichu et ha'ish b'kever elisha. V'ech v'gai ish b'atzmot elisha v'ayyechi v'ayakom al raglav. So a story in the middle of the war with Aram. There was a fellow who died, and they were burying him, and then the army came, so they threw him into the kever of Elisha. He touched the bones of Elisha, and he came back to life, and he got up and walked off. So Elisha had the power to revive people even when he was dead. Maybe that was only to fulfill the bracha that Eliyahu gave him. If you recall, when Elisha was parting from Eliyahu, or the opposite, Eliyahu was going up to heaven, Elisha kept dogging him, and Eliyahu said, what do you want? He said, I want to have pishnaim, whatever that may mean, two-thirds of your spirit, or twice as much as your spirit, some of your spirit on me. And Eliyahu said, if you're able to see me as I go up to heaven, you'll have it. And he said, so maybe this was just to fulfill that spirit. They would have more than Eliyahu by being able to revive people when he was dead, but not because he's greater. So Amar le'achi, I knew the Tanya la'gav amad v'le'tolo halach. So then why would it be that this guy came to life, walked a few steps, and then dropped dead again, instead of actually being revived and going home, which he didn't do? Evidently, he was revived because Elisha's bones just sort of shocked him into coming alive and then moving away because he couldn't be near Elisha. So it's the mitatan yoter mimbachayehen. Al ma'ikayem, so parenthetically, how was the promise of Eliyahu fulfilled? Rabbi Yochanan shripa tzarat na'aman shehish kula kemet. After all, Naaman, the Aramean general, was a Mitzorah, and Elisha famously healed him, and a Mitzorah is Nechshav Kameit Shinemar, as we say about, as Aaron said about his sister Miriam, Alnati Kameit Asher Mitzito Rechimimo Ve'achel Chatzi V'Saro. So Mitzorah is like a mate, so he healed him, it's like he revived the mate. Why they don't bring in the story of the Shunamit and his son, I'm not sure. I'm Rishon Levi, Lamani Krashvan Yemim, parenthetically, in Bereishit Lamed Vav, you have the passage about Anna Shematzat Yemim Bamidbar. That's these crazy white donkeys. Why are they called Yemim? She'im Matam Mutal Talabriot. Everybody's afraid of them. Ema. Rachanina Miyamailo Sha'alani Adam Al Makat Pirda Levana V'chaya. Nobody ever consulted me, Rachanina, the doctor says, about being bitten by one of these white donkeys that he lived. It means he was bitten. He came and asked me what he asked me, whatever it is, but he ended up dying. But we see that such people live. So aim of a chayat, what Rabbi Chanina said, v'chayat, meaning I never saw the wound heal. V'akachazina demitzi, but we see that it does heal. V'chivan resh karayu kamrinan. What he means is, yes, but the top of their feet are white, meaning that it's not really fully healed. Okay, parenthetically, in this whole issue of Chanina, ain od milvado. The Torah testifies, you know, that Hashem is the only one. I'm Rabbi Chanina, again Rabbi Chanina, afilu kshafim. Even kshafim don't have the power to do something against God's will, even witchcraft. Hahi itata hadahave kam mihadra al mishkal afra bitute kare de Rabbi Chanina. So some woman who's trying to do a hex on Rabbi Chanina, and she was coming to get dirt from under his feet, Amar la shkuli, he said, take dirt, let me stay a miltech. That doesn't matter. Ain on mevadoktiv. God's in charge. You want to do whatever crazy thing you want to do, it doesn't mean anything. Rabbi Yochanan plays with the word kshafim and says, you know why they're called kshafim? Because they're machishim pamalia, meaning they deny the heavenly retinue. They work against God. The answer is Shari Rabchanina, then Fisha Schute. Rabchanina had a great sukhut, and therefore he was protected. You could do whatever witchcraft you want, it's not going to help. But generally we would say, machishim pamalia shamala. Further Rabchanina, Adam no kefats pa milamata, and kein machazina lav milamala. If a person even pricks his finger here, it's only because, you know, Shemayim, they decreed that it be so. In other words, it's not only raising Shafim, it also happenstance. Shenemar, mi Adonai mitzadei gaver konanu, which is the first half of Pasuk in Tehillim, the verse in Mishlei doesn't have the word konanu, and v'adam mayavin darko, basically, as the old saying goes, a mensch tracht und Gott lacht. A man makes his plans, he does what he does, but Hashem is still in charge. Man doesn't understand. If you prick your finger and there's some blood, it's accepted to God like dam olah. In other words, a little bit of blood, that's like a korban. So he minimized it. That's only if it's the right thumb. When you got hit a second time before it healed from the first time, and you're on your way to do a mitzvah, so in all of the circumstances, then it's considered like a dam korban. Back to Pinchas ben Yair. That he never made a bracha on bread that wasn't his, and he was always careful to make sure it was his own food. And from the minute that he was independent, he never got benefit from even his father's meal. Now, this is a kind of a strange comment with which to end our story and our podcast, because, of course, the crux of the story is his willingness to eat at Rebbe's house, which then gets kind of quashed by all of this stuff. So what it may mean is, and this may be what Rebbe then meant when he said, G'dolim b'mitatan, is that b'chayhen, so kavachom mitatan, is that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair evidently had a position that he would not eat at other people's homes. And here he was about to give in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved things around so that it wouldn't happen because of these white donkeys, and with all of Rebbe's pleading, it ended up that he did not eat there. Okay, we will pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.